for the excellency of your name, Yahweh. It is mighty and great. So as we enter here in this tabernacle, this place of worship, to esteem you mightily and to cause your name to shine brilliantly in the heights of the firmaments of the Shemayim. So as we bow here collectively in this assembly, those that are listening on the live stream with us, those that may hear this broadcast some way today, or in the future, Abba, we pray that the power of your truth will be revealed in a very dynamic and mighty way. That will cause the love of the people that hear to be transformed. That their love, their mind, will be renewed by the power of your Ruach, which brings a revelation of your spoken Torah, that they may rejoice with exceeding gladness, that the praises may mount unto the Shemayim for your mighty and powerful name. So we assemble ourselves, that you may unclothe us to see our nakedness and the shame that we have brought before you, as we have despised your Torah, your mitzvot. Your mishpatim has no power, because we reject your judgment. We do pray in the Ruach today, because we know that we have the Teshuah, the victory, the revelation and the knowledge of your truth. Your Torah is truth. HaMashiach is the truth and life of the Torah. Because under the witness of two or three men died, now we have the witness of the Son and the Abba. For the Ruach continuously gives us that true witness. And it is one that the Torah, the truth of Yahweh, is relevant. It has the utmost of great importance in our lives, in everything that we do, in every aspect of our lives. We bless you for that. We thank you today for bread, above all the bread of the Ruach, and the bread that sustains us naturally as we are able to dine, as we are able to eat, as we have abundance. What our brothers and sisters like Pastor Babu in India, and Elder Martin in Kenya, great droughts, little foods, no water to be found for just a cool glass of drinking water. No water for bathing, for clothing. I bless you. I thank you. And I praise you. We pray your mighty strength to rest upon these precious men that endure such afflictions without murmuring and complaining. When you see the resolve in the faces of those that are with them, their heart rejoice for a bowl of rice, for a simple cup of tea and a biscuit. They rejoice. You see the gladness, as I have seen other pictures. Their heart ecstatic to know that there is a bowl of rice. Not in a nation like this one, that is so consumed in paganism, fictitious aspects of life, that is so surreal. It has no understanding, appreciation, and thankfulness for the simple things of life. So I bless you for water today, for bread, for truth, for revealing my conscience in my mind, the things in me that impedes me about from growing to the fullness of the statues of HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel, that He did all things to please you, to satisfy you, to make your life glad, that you may say that this is my beloved Son, in whom my heart rejoices, because I am well pleased in Him. Are you pleased with us today, Abba? Help us all. For we do need you today. Strengthen those that listen by the live stream today. Brother Heath, his wife, Sister Maria, the children. I pray for the precious brother, Brother Rex, there in South Carolina, his wife, that you continue to trouble him, that the strength of your truth will rise up in him with a great fervor, that he will denounce everything but what your way commands. Strengthen him, I pray. Brother, Sister Morgan there in Philadelphia, give them great strength. Touch them. We ask you to help Sister Janice Morrison there in Philly. We ask your anointing to fill the house, the home. Brother Michael, his wife Michaela, and Alex, the son, to give them great strength, assure their heart, and cause their heart to rejoice, for they will declare, for we know all things work for the good of them, those that love Yahweh, and those that are called according to His purpose. And we are called to endure many afflictions and suffering. Bless them, I pray. Sister Tucker and the children. Strengthen them today, Brother Ron. Give them great strength and perseverance. Strengthen Sister Catherine, Sister Pamela. We ask your anointing to rest upon Pastor Andy Israel. We ask you to bless Elder Baker. Pastor Brown, help him, I pray, Yahweh. We ask you to strengthen Pastor Hunter. Those that listen, Pastor Joy Griffin, there in Okeechobee Penitentiary, with all of his natural life, as far as doing what he desires, is taken away. As far as the law of the land, he will never see a free day outside the confines of a prison house. Yet your work is fervent there. Bless him. Strengthen our brother. As his letters touch my heart continuously. Elder Basil, there in Salter, South Carolina. Give him strength, I pray. We ask your blessing upon Brother Jerome in his home there in New York City to help him. And to bless him, I pray. We ask you to strengthen Brother Nathan today there in Texas, Houston. And as he simulcast this message, give him great strength in those that hear. Bless Brother Jerry in Dallas, Texas. His home, his wife. And strengthen them, I pray. We pray for those that cognitively we don't recall their names today, Yahweh. Bless them, I pray. Strengthen Sister Hawkins there in Jamaica. Bless those that listen to the broadcast and are able to hear the messages as we send them to her. Give her great strength. And those that visit our website from all over the world, those from the Bahamas, those from Trinidad, from every island, those that come from China and Russia those that come from Iran and Iraq and the continent of Africa, the letters that those write, that their heart, mind, has been enriched and changed. We pray for them that you bless them mightily and strengthen them. Now strengthen our heart today that it will be one. That we will be united in the Ruah of our Abba. That this day we shall sing and dance and praise your mighty name, because the hope that Yeshua HaMashiach has given unto the remnant of Israel, we will bless you today. We will thank you. We will shabbat you. We shall praise you with the praise of rejoicing. And all the Kiddushim said, Hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. We rejoice in our Abba. Come on, lift your voices. Come on and lift your hands to the Shemaya. Come on and bless him. Come on and thank him. Come on and worship him. Call on his name, Yahweh. Call on that name, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
With a heart of thanksgivings, for you delight in that offering of thankfulness, we bless you and say thank you, Abba, Yahweh. For precious is your kindness, your tender mercies, and your Ahava toward us all. A people that's wretched, despicable, yet you have made a people pleasing in your sight to accept the praise offerings and the thanksgivings offerings, the offerings of rejoicing and joy. For what are we, Yahweh, but mere flesh? What can we bring before the great King and the only King? Do we bring the accolades, the words of worship? We say to you this Shabbat that we will faithfully commit to your Torah, your mitzvot, for the promise of the hope in HaMashiach the Lamb, Yisrael. We will not despise our birthrights. We will bless you and thank you. For you are tov, greatly good to us. We love you today and we thank you. We present that love to you by obeying you. I do want to call out Brother David Manning there in St. Louis. Bless him, I pray, Yahweh. Strengthen his mind. Deliver my brother from even the battles of his mind, that he may be strong in the emunah. Bless him, I pray, and help him. Help us all today, for we need it. And to truly do what you said. Herein is love. Not that we love you, but you loved us. You declare no greater love than this, than any man would have, that they will lay down their lives for a friend. We pray that we have this love, to love our neighbor, our brother, our sister, as we love ourselves. For we all stand in your presence for your judgment. You shall judge us all. We ask all things in the hope of this message delivered to us by the promise of Yeshua HaMashiach. We bless you, Yahweh. We thank you. And all the Kiddushim said, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Look to your neighbor and tell them, I am blessed today, for it is Yahweh's truth that has made me free. And I'm free to worship Him. Shabbat Yahweh. Hallelujah. You may be seated. For the heart definitely ought to rejoice Yahweh's truth. We ought to be exceedingly glad for His visitation. Well, how do you know that He is in the midst? Because where there are two or three gathered in His name, there shall He also be in the midst of that congregation. The congregation is a set apart people that have determined in their mind, their love, that above all things they will please Yahweh. They will set their affection on the things that are above, not upon the things that are sensual and earthly. Because the mind of Yahweh is far above the natural mind. The natural mind is filled with enmity and hatred, corruptions, lies, filthiness. It's full of sedition, hypocrisy, backbiting, deceitful ways, unreprovable, inability to love, the ability to ask, to strive to the things that are right. So the natural man has no ability to take great delight in the Torah of Yahweh. So we need the mind that HaMashiach, let that same mind that was in Him be in us as well. And the mind was shapen by the Torah. It is not some kind of magical, mystical regeneration. People are transformed daily by, quote, what they call an epiphany, something dramatic happens in their lives, and it makes a total transformation in their lives. It could have been something they heard, a word spoken, but it began to inspire something in them that was deeper than their own thought process or their own desires. And that is what the Torah does. It began to revolutionize things in us. And we set our affection upon the things that are truly above, and not on the things that are sensual and earthly, the things that shall be dissolved. Everything that you see around you, it shall be dissolved. Everything that you behold, it is only a temporal manifestation. It has no everlasting endurance at all. It's just a form of a thing that shall be done away with. But Yahweh has given His people an assurance, and that is the revelation of Torah, that it is from everlasting to everlasting, because it is the righteous standards of Yahweh. We must understand that. We must know that. A generation that is so removed from Yahweh that even truth cannot penetrate the mind and the conscience of this generation. It is impenetrable. It cannot be penetrated. You will know that it is penetrated when you begin to see the living fruit of it. You can plant seed all day long in the ground. Without the proper watering, without the water penetrating, the seed will not germinate and produce. I don't care how carefully manicured the spot is. I don't care what you do to make it aesthetically pleasing to look upon. But if the waters do not penetrate, that hard corn seed stays hardened. It becomes even more hardened. That is the conscience of the mind of a generation When the total revelation of Yahweh doesn't penetrate, it causes it to become even more hardened. The ways become more hardened. The attitudes, the personalities become more hardened. And it does not emanate the life and the fruit of HaMashiach. For he did all things to please Abba. He was taught by Yosef, Miriam, what the Torah taught. Why? Because in that body, that natural form is the complexity of two nations. And so it is with us. The nation of the seed of Yahweh. And there's a nation that is corrupt and a king that is known as flesh, that drives one and will sell everything and every birthright, because it does not realize nor understand the truth of Yahweh. And scripture speaks to that. That's why there is no shalom, no peace in the lives of the people today. And the shalom of Yahweh is not some giddy feeling. It's not some kind of emotion. But it is the sure soundness of Yahweh in one's life. And that one is complete. It is Yahweh's security. And that one is secured in Abba Yahweh. And not in the natural things of the earth. And so today you find no soundness in the people. You find no true endeavoring friendship. That's what shalom is. It is a friendship. It is a precious friendship. It creates a tremendous compassion of caring. It is one that it brings about the contentment. The heart is content. It is thoroughly pleased with what Yahweh is doing. It is a mindset that is quiet. It understands the covenant relationship that Torah teaches us concerning he or she with their Abba. And you have no soundness today in the earth because there is no shalom in the earth. Out of the bosom of Yaakov, there were two nations that came forth. There was one of the seed of the promise. And there was one that will produce a nation of people that will bring about death and a violent contempt for Yahweh. A people that would be diametrically opposed to any kind of stipulation or Torah revelation that Yahweh speaks to that people. And out of that bosom of Rebekah came two nations. One that was the promised seed, and one that had the promise delivered. But he saw the birthrights. And that is what this nation and the people have done today, because they are other seeds of the Edomites. And they are full of violent contempt for Yahweh's truth. For the Torah, the truth of Yahweh tells us, if we see our neighbor's eyes in the ditch, is it not right to deliver the ass or the oxen? Is it not right? If you see your brother or sister fall into sin, if you are a true brother or sister, will you not speak the words to them so that they will not fall into a deeper degradation of sin? The reason that this generation cannot do it, because there is no viability or no manifestation of the true Torah of Yahweh in their lives. And it begins with his ahava, his love, to love him above all things. And it tells you, I ask all of you all this, if you know, if you lay your finger down here, and it's going to be cut off what you lay it there. Then would you watch your brother or sister lay their finger there and watch them get it cut off without you warning them? That is the true love of Yahweh, that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. When one does not abide in that truth, they are of the spirit of the Edomites. And I will show you what scripture says. And you cannot deliver shalom unto them. They have no power. Because they have rejected the truth. I would have begun in Gilead, Revelation. You must understand as I read these scripture. I like to say that in the singular form, scripture. Because it is one word. I don't like the form scripture. I like scripture. So as I read scripture, I want you to understand the characterization of words, the metaphorisms of words. You may understand what Yahweh is implying here. Yochanan sat in the place for great revelation to be delivered unto him. Now he had to be quiet, something that is missing from this generation. He had to be at shalom, peace with Yahweh. He had to have a readiness of mind and heart with all faithfulness to obey what Yahweh commanded him to obey. This generation is not one that has that composition. We are very rebellious, reject Yahweh. We certainly do not want his discipline in our lives. And so as he began to see the unfolding of a time, that the great vengeance or the revelation of HaMashiach, and what is that? Because man has rejected him. They have rejected this revealed truth of Yahweh, and it has caused the indignation of Yahweh to burn uncontrollably. Because they have rejected the true and the living one. They have rejected the power of his Torah, and everything deals with his Torah, his wisdom, his call to instruct us, his mind to teach us, to show us, to inform us. When a man rejects that of the King and the Mighty One, then what do we expect of the King? When the wrath of the King is engaged, who can soothe him unless he has a beautiful queen? Unless there's a beautiful bride there. Unless there's one that intrigues the king's heart. That is why he is coming for an assembly that is not filled with the whoredom of your natural mind. That is not filled with the corruption and the vileness of your ways. You're always going to eradicate this filth from out of the body of HaMashiach, because there can be no vile thing in him, because he took upon our sins. We're without any kind of excuse there is. And so as the revelation began to be revealed unto Yochanan, he says in Gilead, chapter 6 and verse 3, who is worthy to open the seal of Yahweh? There is one found. He is the Messiah of Yahweh. He says in verse 3, and when HaMashiach had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say unto me, come, because I want you to see. I want this to be revealed unto you. I want the revelation of this truth to be impactful. I want it to impact your life. I want it to impact all those that will read this truth. And the power of it is revealed. And the power of that is the understanding is in line, it is clear, and there is no doubt at all. It brings about a great strength to pursue and to engage in the things that Yahweh intends for us to engage in. Can I stop there for a moment? It is one thing that Shaitan has done, and you know his power in you, because you engage in the things that you know that oppose Torah. Lying, busybody, gossiping, tattleteller. So you engage in those things. If a matter of a brother or sister is just, then you go to the brother and sister. That is how you resolve any matter. Period. And so the natural card of mind that is enmity against Yahweh, it says to the Torah, no, no, I will not go that route. And so this great revelation that was revealed unto him as Yahweh speaks unto your Kohanan, I want you to see. I want it to become an intricate part of your life. That you will tell others. That they will believe. And that they will know. I said to my wife this morning, I want you to hear this. I said, sister, when you say something to someone and they hear it, they don't need to respond. When you respond, you don't hear it. How do you know? Can I draw you an analogy? When someone tells you something, you understand that you go about to do it. When there's an act of rebelliousness in you, then you want to respond. But when you truly hear it, he said, you have ears to hear. But you cannot hear. How do you know they cannot hear Habashiah? Because they oppose his words by their response. When you speak to a child and say, do that, he or she responds, mama, daddy, why? Why cannot I do that? Because they did not hear you. When someone hears, they perceive, they understand, it takes strength in them, and there is no need to respond. There's an action next, because they know they have heard. When they don't hear, there's a reaction, because they do not have the ability to hear. They have ears, but they cannot hear. And so he always says unto your Kohen, I want you to hear this. And I want you to see this. And I want you to understand this with great clarity. For it is vital. And it is important to convey exactly what I command you and what I speak unto you. How can you say that? Because not one jot or one tittle or the smallest of increments can be taken from the Torah or the prophets. And so you cannot take what Yahweh speaks unto us and try to alter it to please your own personality or your flesh. And that is what the Edomites have done. And that's why there is no shalom. He says in verse 4, there went out another hippo, another horse. And that one was red. And power was given unto him thereon to take, do you hear this? To take shalom or peace from the earth. That they should kill one another. And there shall be given him a great sword. Now, I want you to understand the characterization of this hippo, this horse, of this powerful being, or this spirit that has gone forth. He said it was one that was a red hippo, a tremendous, powerful being, of great strength, and of great magnitude, and is characterized, my brothers and sisters, I want you to understand. It is characterized by this display, this attitude, this personality of brutalness. Ones that are disconnected. It is characterized by this upheaval when it comes to the social principles of Yahweh. For his social principles teach you how to love one another. His social principles, his moral principles, Torah, teach you how to intrigue one another. How to endure one another. How to be affectionately kind to one another. And so here this power rose up. And it signifies, as we have seen in some of the communist nations, Red China, the Red Bear. When the fullness of their strength was manifested, that it deluded the minds of the people, and they were basically a people of atheism. That they believed that there was no mighty creator. They believed in the gods. But they did not believe that there was one that had created all things. And it caused the mind and the will to subvert the truth of Yahweh and His Torah. He went forth to take the shalom, the peace, the soundness, the complete work of Yahweh that was done in HaMashiach, to give one that tranquility, that mind to trust, to be intrigued by what Yahweh says. He rode forth to take this out of the mind and the hearts of the people. How can one do that? Is it by the trinkets and the fictitious things that Shaitan promotes today? Is it done that way? Is it done by the mind and the heart being consumed with lust and the compassion for the things of the world? Is it done that way? How is this one going to take the shalom from the people? How has that been done? Mr. Bush says that there is peace in Afghanistan. There's peace in Iran. The world is more peaceful, and yet they are killing, destroying. He says when this one goes forth, that they shall kill one another. Well, Pastor Roberts, that's the world. If any brother or sister hates their brother or sister, you are a murderer. You have killed. That's what you are. He's talking to the house of Israel, His people. And they shall go forth with great strength, this power, this spirit. And they shall take the shalom from the earth, from the Olam. There shall be no peace. We see the violence of natural changes in the earth. The storms like Katrina. The massiveness of the droughts throughout the world, that the wells and the fountains of water are drying up. Now that is when there is no shalom in the earth. That's what it caused. It caused the earth to moan and to groan and to twist, and for her form to be contorted. We see that in the elements today. We see that in the weather patterns. And we see that in the pattern of the mindset of a generation today. I want you to hear me today. You need to hear this. And He shall ride and He shall remove shalom from the earth. Has it been done by the misfortunes of our financial situations, whereby there is not enough? What has destroyed the soundness of the people, the security, a love for Yahweh, a sense of direction? What violent spirit that has caused one to revolt against Yahweh and to turn their heart violently against His name, His identity, His kingdom authority, and His kingdom power? What has done that? What has done that? How do we find the answer? Do we find it by some seminarian approach or theological approach? Or do we search Scripture and find out what Scripture says? You see why there is no shalom in the earth. And why they will kill one another, and why you kill one another. Why you destroy your brother or your sister. Why? Has this power gone forth? Sure it has. We're way beyond this. This began in the last days. We saw the hippos mounting, the forces of the underworld. that oppose Yahweh and that oppose His truth. I want to show you why there is no shalom in the earth and even in you. The reason we do not know, because we spend our time in frivolity and folly. We spend an enormous amount of time of our day in trivial pursuits, carnal engagements. We do not disengage ourselves from those kinds of things. And so it's very easy for one to kill. How? You kill a brother or a sister. You slander them. You lie against them. You receive false reports and evil reports without even questioning the report. That is the power of the one that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Because he is what? An accuser of the brethren. You get quiet, that's good. Maybe you're paying attention. Hallelujah. I'm not a nickel-dime preacher. That's just it. Do you boast? No. I'm telling you that I'm not that shallow. Because I have a delight in Scripture. Yesterday, before the Shabbat began to take its shape, the brothers, we were sitting there. There were some. But I noticed for the span of about 8 or 10 minutes, you could sense a stillness, a quietness, that you could literally hear Yahweh speak to a man. And I sat there in great and raptured of amazement, because it did something to my inward parts. And I noticed the serenity in this great quietness. And so I began to look at the brothers. I said, what are you thinking? And their words were basically the same. It was a concern for the body and Scripture. Yahweh on my mind. Now I did that because if someone asks you, what are you thinking? Because your thoughts are so far removed. You're dishonest and you cannot reply to them. And I knew how they were thinking. That's why I asked them. I knew exactly where their mind, that mind of that time was. So that's why I asked. And I knew that I was going to hear the kind of response that I got from the brothers. And that is what Yahweh is looking for. First of all, He commands us to be quiet. Be slow to speak. And very quick to hear. We're quick to speak. And slow to hear. How is it this shalom, this peace of Yahweh, has been removed from the minds of the people? This complete power, the safety and soundness of Yahweh, the health of His people, the prosperity. That is what His shalom is. And we find this superficial or this pseudo type of a message that doesn't bring any health to the people. We are sick. I was listening to PBS this morning in the wee hours. And there was a report from the BBC, a report concerning the hospitals in China. I said, my, you would have to hear it in order to understand what is taking place. No health. We have no health today. We're not healthy. We're not robust. We're not energetic. Because there's one thing that filth does, even in a vehicle, it clogs up the injectors and the carburetor. So there must be a cleansing. And you're so filthy that the word of Yahweh, His word is a cleanser. And your filthy mind needs cleaning. So He comes to remove this power, will remove the shalom, the health, the tranquility, the covenant relationship. We don't even understand what kind of relationship we have with Yahweh, because you have no relationship with Him. Your relationship with Him is an extension of your relationship with one another. I will say that again. Your covenant relationship with Yahweh is displayed in how your relationship is with your brother or sister. And what you accuse them of, you accuse him of too. That's it. A wise person, they will seek out the matter. As Yahkahan did. He said, see, I want you to understand. Why is it, preacher? You think you're wiser than me? No. It is not that I'm wiser than you, but I have to do things a little more diligent than you. I have to search a little deeper than you. I don't have the intellect that you possess. Or the ability to retain things the way you do. But I have a strength that causes me to persevere and to search. When there is something that needed answered in my mind, I don't have to ask questions. I go to Scripture. And I will search the Scripture and see if there's an answer. And there's always an answer in Scripture. So the shalom is taken. When you have the shalom of Yahweh, you will walk with a robust and an energetic attitude. And this whole nation is sedentary. It is one that is lazy. It is one that is very slothful. It is one that is consumed with greed and lust and flesh eating because they are of the seed of the Edomites. Remember that. I will show you in Scripture. But I'm going to take my time. You can leave. You can turn off the live web. It makes no difference at all. Because His truth must be revealed to His people because we're ignorant. I want to show you why and how He's going to remove the shalom and how it's already done. It says in Tehillim, Psalms 119, in verse 165. It says this, great, exceedingly, abundantly. Beyond measure, great shalom have they which love your Torah. It's a generation that has no love for the Torah. He said, great shalom have they that love the Torah of Yahweh. And so we find this power today that has gone forth to remove the Torah out of everything. And the Edomites have no power of the Torah today. Who are the Edomites? Those that are violent against Torah. These, in this generation, speaks violently against Torah. They speak violently against His name. And they reject that. Where a man loves the Torah of Yahweh, he shall have great shalom. In the midst of great trials and tribulations. And so this powerful being, this spiritual rule, which we see the revelation of it in religion or religious practices today, it has removed the power of the Torah from the heart today. We find in what we call Christendom, they do not teach the truth and the strength of the Torah. This is this hippos, this mighty beast, and there is no beast in this nation that has the tentacles, the strength, and the power of what we call Christendom. The power of the Edomites. Those that are violently opposing Yahweh. The most unhealthiest. Swine eaters. Shabbat breakers. Torah. Despisers of the truths of Yahweh. So he said, Great shalom have they. Which love your Torah and some things and what? Nothing shall what? Offend them. Look to your neighbor and say, am I easily offended? Look to someone else and say, am I easily offended? Now you answer the question in your own hearts. Yeah, that's all right because I'm going to preach. I search the Scripture because I want to assure myself of my Yashak. You search gossip, folly, frivolity to assure you where you are with your God. I search Scripture to make sure that my mind and my heart is in line with what Scripture says. So great shalom to them all that love, keep, reverence the Torah of Yahweh. And there is nothing evil that shall touch them. Now why is the mindset today consumed with evil things and evil thoughts? Why is the mind just inundated with everything that is evil and nothing that is wholesome, that brings health, that brings the riches and the shalom of Yahweh and wants and would be in? Why is that? Because there is no great delight in Torah. We do not want the wisdom of Yahweh. We do not want that to be applied to our lives. And so we have no fullness of strength. We have no character of HaMashiach today. When a man loves the Torah, he shall have a great shalom. Now that shalom is always not you walk around grinning and smiling like you have something. You see it in the effervescence of your physical being. That is the truth. When you're slothful because you're slothful toward the things of Yahweh. What Yahweh teaches in the Torah, it teaches you everything. How to eat, how to keep yourself appropriate. It teaches you all those things. How to dress, how to make yourself, it teaches you all those things. How to walk in the health and the wealth of Yahweh, the Torah teaches that. It shows you that. And when you are not walking in the strength of that, you are a despiser and you violently oppose Torah, because Torah will tell you how to eat moderately. How to make sure you maintain a physical appearance before Yahweh, because He is not coming back for a sluttish, filthy, stinking Jezebel. That our mind is overweighted with the cares of this life. It has choked out the word of Yahweh, and this is a generation that cares about nothing but fleshly things. And we see it in our physical lives, and our grotesque features, and our minds that are grotesquely induced and cares about things that produce no power of His Torah. So you have no shalom. You have no peace. You have no health. Your body doesn't prosper. Your mind doesn't prosper. Why? Because you are just like the Edomites. You have sold your birthright like Esau. You cannot function in the Torah. So He shall take away the shalom. The security of the people. You're not secure in anything. I don't care what happened. This place can crumble today. It all dissolves. I know what David declared. I've been young, and now I'm old. For I've never seen the righteous. You have to be careful how you say, all right, forsaken. Or seed out begging bread. I believe that. I trust that. How does that come about? We're believing and having confidence in the Torah. You understand the wisdom of Yahweh. You know He will never forsake you. HaMashiach taught that. That's what Yahshua taught. And because we are such murderers, He shall go forth and take the shalom from the earth. And they shall kill one another. Oh, I will never kill my brother, sister. He said they shall kill one another with what? With a great sword. What is the sword of Yahweh? The wicked. What is His sword to destroy you and your brother? The wickedness in you. What is wickedness? A blatant defiance of the Torah. That's what it is. When you blatantly defy what Torah teaches, you are wicked. You are the sword of Yahweh. And He used you to destroy you. And you're going to destroy all those that are the same wickedness and the nature you are. That's why the old proverb, birds of the same feather, they flock together. That's just the truth. You find whores and pimps hanging out together. You find homosexuals and bulldagger Jezebels hanging out together. Do you understand that? You find effeminate men hanging with effeminate men. You find brawny beer gut men hanging with brawny beer gut men. You find women that think that they are Miss It hanging with those that think that they are Miss It. You find those that are out of shape and out of touch with those that are out of shape and out of touch, because it does not compel them. And with those of the same feather you are of, it does not compel you. And so you look for those that are Torah despisers and that despise the Torah. You might as well say, help me, Yahweh. Those that despise Torah and truth of Torah, because you despise truth of Torah, you will not seek after one that loves Torah and that loves the truth. So you seek out those of your same nature and the same attitude you have, because it doesn't show your blindness nor your weakness or your wickedness, because you have a secret thing in your heart, a secret sin, because it defies the Torah, and that's why you never have any shalom. And a true sign of one having no shalom, there is a constant, hear what I say, utterance of murmuring and complaining and displeasure. They do not have the truth of Yahweh. So those that love the Torah, they shall have great shalom. And there shall be nothing that offend them. They're not easily offended. They're not easily removed, because they have hope in the truth of the Torah. And that is what HaMashiach is. He is the life, the Ruah, the power of Yahweh's Torah. And that's why you find many men today that can teach Torah, but they have no life of the teaching of the Torah. It doesn't bring about an edification, a spiritual enlightenment, or they're not growing in the Ruah, they're not spiritual people. They're natural and they're carnal. That is the sign of the Edomites. They're natural. They're carnal. Their conversation is natural. Their desires are natural. Their lust is natural. It is not a desire for the things that are above. That is the kind of mind that we want us to have, a mind that is above. Not sensual, not earthly, not childish, not immaturish. I say to you all, and I don't say with any regret, I'm a man. And I'm a man of Yahweh. Regardless of what anyone says. How do you know that, preacher? Because I will back it up with this. With truth. And I don't skimmish on anything when it comes to this, because this is applied to my life first, and I love it, because I know that Yahweh corrects me with His mishpatim, and I like that. I'm not offended at that. I'm not offended. David goes on to say in the 53rd verse of the same chapter, he says, horror has taken hold upon me. Now, we don't think that horror takes hold upon you. We think it takes hold upon someone else. He says, this burning zeal, this rage. Have you ever had that kind of rage? And the reason you have that kind of rage, because horror has taken hold over me because of the wickedness, because of the wicked that forsake your Torah. When you have this burning rage in you, when you rage against your brothers and sisters, when you rage against Yahweh, because you have forsaken the Torah. And that is what that word rage means. It means zelaha, zelaha, zelaha. It is a rage. It is a burning anger. It is a heated rage. I watch people as I talk to them. I watch them in their folly and their rage. And I'll sit and I'll just watch. And as I watch, I will scripture, as Yahweh speaks scripture to my mind. I will say, they fill out every aspect of scripture. Every aspect. And then I will let them do that for a while, and then I will go to scripture. And show them, this is you here. You don't want nobody to tell you that, but that's you. And so Yahweh says, this horror takes hold of you. This rage. This burning indignation. Because of your wickedness, the wicked, and you're wicked. Because you have forsaken Torah, you've forsaken truth. And so everything you become very enraged with. If someone tries to coerce you or compel you to do a thing, you become enraged. If someone instructs you, you become enraged. Our spiritual mindset, we can know what we are in the natural. Brother Jermaine, do you mind doing that? Thank you, brother. Jermaine, you do that. Pat, you take care of that. Dickie, you take the brothers. You'll chop some wood. You can tell your spiritual place in your reaction when it comes to being governed. It shows you how shallow and how immature you are. And so Yahweh, as we live, and he has always had his people communal, they live together. He has always governed him. People are by nature must live together. They must cohabitate together. It's a strange thing when one goes off to themselves. That's not the nature of a human being. It must be a community structure. I don't care if they're in the hoods. I don't care if they're in the rich white gate or the bourgeois black gate. That's the social tact or the social association that human beings have, just like animals. But the nature of the human is much greater than beasts of the field. And so we can gauge where we are in the Ruah by our actions and our reactions when things are spoken unto us. And so I look at people like I say, you're sad, you're pitiful. You respond like a child because you are a child. Children respond a certain way because they're children. They get upset because they're children. See, a wise man, he hears the matter. And he says, how can I be enhanced by this? Well, it will strengthen your resolve, your ability to obey. And your obedience there shows your faithfulness unto the Abba. And so a wise man takes that and he says, it's good for me. Because my conscience is pure, my desire is to please him. A fool doesn't see it that way. Fool becomes enraged or engaged in horror. And it takes hold of them. Because you have forsaken the Torah. You have forsaken the mishpatims of Yahweh. You have forsaken the ordinance and the statutes of Yahweh. And then your first position to exclude you is to blame someone else. And to say it's him, was her. You are in the rage because of you. You are the problem. Isn't it good that Yahweh is so personal, Brother Jermaine? He brings it right home to the door, doesn't it? He talks to you. It's good, isn't it? Evangelist Horned, your daddy, did he not talk to you personally? Someone wrote me a letter and said, you talk about that man so much. Please answer the question. Who is he? You that are listening, he was one of my precious brothers. They labor with me here. His sons are here. They dwell here in this community. That's who he is. So that's who Evangelist Horn is. So you talk about him. You say, he said this and he said that. Well, that's who he is. And so when one began to forsake Torah, you began to this vile thing that has gone forth out of the gates of darkness because Yahweh has dispensed it. You find yourself killing your brothers and sisters. You find yourself murdering. You find yourself with your words assaulting. And Allah hates every soul that is affected by it. Okay, who you are? You hate the ones that you're talking to when you're lying on someone else. If you don't know the truth of the matter, it's best just be quiet. A wicked person tears out a matter. That's what they do. But not a righteous man. He studied the issues and say, doesn't sound right. It's not of Yahweh. So when you forsake the Torah, you're going to have this burning rage. You're going to have this zaha. You're going to have this heat. It's always built up in you. So when anyone says anything to you, you respond that way in the midst of your anger, in the midst of your burning. There are you that are like that, that are sitting here, that listens. And you need to be delivered from that. It is not of your way. It is not of your way. And I'm not afraid to tell. You want us to look well. No, I want the people that hear this broadcast and those that listen to know the state of Yahweh's people because they are in that state too. And that's the way you are, and it should not be. It ought not to be. Why? Because you've forsaken the Torah. And you forsake this Torah. We can see this in the world today. It is forsaking of the Torah. And these Edomites, those that are in what we call Christendom and this Islam and these religions of the world, they are the Edomites. They are the spiritual Edomites. There's two nations upon the face of the earth. It is the nation of Yahweh and the nation of darkness. The Edomites, those that violently oppose Torah. And you find it in the UPC, you find it in the Pentecostal, you find it in the Charismatic, you find it in the Baptists because they have bylaws and they do not abide by the Torah. You find it in these little individuals. They got their own little way of what they call, quote, worshiping, unquote. Because they despise the Torah. And they become enraged when you speak against their little whoredom that they are committing. And I'm not afraid to speak against it. I'm not afraid to challenge it at all. Period. They have forsaken the Torah. They have rejected my Torah. And so you find yourself in this burning rage and this great anger that persists in you and that has no love of truth. Now I want to show you what Isaiah, spoke in the 48th chapter in verse 16. When Yahweh warns his people of his judgment upon those that persistently and consistently do evil. What is doing evil? When you reject Torah, HaMashiach did not destroy the Torah. Yahshua came to show us the power and the life of the Torah. When you obey someone, does it give you a good feeling? I know it does me. It gives me a good feeling, even in the natural. It's only when I oppose that I get this, you know, you get heartburns. That's why we are unhealthy. Because we oppose everything. You get these heartburns, you get this mindset that drives you that whole day. You get this anger, you get this attitude. And your attitude is twisted with everyone. When you do it, you have such a shalom. It creates an easy day. It creates health for you. You're not stressed. You're not bent out of shape. You're healthy. Sure does. You must understand that when a man under two or three witnesses disobeyed the Torah, he died. You must understand that the spiritual power of the Torah is the same thing today. That's why you feel so segregated and disengaged from others. Because you do not love Torah, you forsake it. And Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel, did not deny Torah. He came to give us the power of that truth. He came to reveal the Ruah, that it may come forth in its excellent form. Every word that Yahweh speaks is excellent. Yahweh says in Isaiah 48:16, He says to you, come you near, come near to me. And His command is to listen to this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. Yahweh said, everything I've done is open. I created everything. What I've done, you know. From the time that it was, I was there. He said, when it was, I was what it is. Because without me being there, there is no is today. And now the sovereign Yahweh and His Ruah has set me. That's what Isaiah said. He says, this says Yahweh. He calls Himself our Redeemer. The Kodesh one, set apart one of Israel. He says, I am your sovereign ruler. I am Yahweh, your Abba. Do you hear that? I'm your precious one. I should be the precious one to you, which does what? Teaches. Teaches you to what? Now what is teaching you, my brothers and sisters? If you're not profiting, if you don't have soundness and growth and maturity, what's teaching you? Yahweh teach us to profit. Who leads you by the way that you should go, not the way that you want to go. He leads you the way that you should go, to the rivers of living water. Oh, that you had listened to my mitzvot. If you had listened to the commandments of Yahweh. Oh, if you had listened, then your shalom would have been as what? As a river. You got peace like a river? Don't answer it. He said, if you listen to my mitzvot, you shall have shalom as a river. And there's nothing like a river. What is one of the greatest rivers in the world? What is that one? The Euphrates. It runs about, 1,700 miles? And even in the Euphrates, the smallest point, rivers get down to about 10 feet apart from one bank to the other. Do you understand? Euphrates River, the Euphrates, at one point, The mouth is 800 miles wide. That's a river. Rivers are not like that. And at the lowest point, it's like 800 feet. That's wide for a river. A river is actually just a larger creek. That's all it is. And what you find, the river is different than the creek, isn't it? They're bigger. They're nice there. Why? Because there's always life in the river. The water always flows. Always. Always when a creek becomes shallow, it doesn't flow. A pond. But the fish life in a river is not like the fish life in a pond. You may find a bigger fish in the pond. Sure you will. But you will not find the fish that are more energetic in a pond like you will the river. Not so. He said, if you would just love my mitzvah, keep my Torah, your shalom would be as a river, as the Euphrates. You know something about that river, that almost over 80% of that river is navigable. You can navigate it. It's a resource. Now that's what he's telling us. That this flow of my shalom, it will be navigable. You can navigate it. Your mind can, your heart, your desire. You will have a great strength. You will have a great comfort. And you will see this one thing about life around the river. The trees, they grow strong and tall. They grow big and fat. They grow thick. Do you understand that? Why? Because they get the kind of water that they need for the root system. Where do you think the most beautiful piece of wood comes from? Where there's a lot of rain. The Amazon rainforest, is that what it says? And they grow huge there, don't they? Big old trees. Huge. I recall talking to one of the loggers. I said, this is some pretty wood you have. He said, oh man, this stuff here, this is what they use for furniture, fine furniture. He says to me, this is what grows around the rivers. You only get this kind of wood around the riverbanks. Huge pieces of wood, just strong and solid. So when one has that shalom, when one keeps the mitzvahs of Yahweh, then their shalom shall be as a river. Ours is not even like a trickling creek. It's not even like dropped from a faucet. Because his mitzvahs are not valuable. His commandments are not the strength to our security. We try to find security in lies and our own corruption. And you're flush and you're going to die, fool. I see it that way. And they shall kill one another. They shall destroy one another. And because there is no love for his mitzvah, then you have no strength. There is no great flow of life in you. Rivers produce life, don't they? They're teeming with fish. I'm telling you. It's nothing like a river. I fished on a river, and I fished in ponds and lakes, but the river is different. It's different. Seems like something is always biting at a river when that water is flowing. True? Thank you. You got to know when they hit, when life is always there. And once you hit the mother load, you can catch them abundantly. Just throw right back at the chum. You catch them. And so when one has that shalom, there is nothing that offends them. Be quiet, because they have peace about everything. You are offended because you have no shalom. And the reason you have no shalom, because the Torah has no power and his mitzvahs are not in your heart. They're not the foundation of truths that promotes what is right. What you promote is your damnable, corrupt, fleshly ways. And that's why you're sickly. That's why you're weak. That's why we hurt. Because you hurt one another. Yahweh's word makes sense. This is not mine, it's his. As I said at times, I say, Yahweh, I see, gave me these scriptures. What do I say? I don't know what to say. But his Ruah knows what to say, because these scriptures, this scripture has been read. And so it knows what I need. It knows that. We have the body of HaMashiach. The figure can't say to the eye, I don't need you. I need my eye. I like my toes. I like my fingers. They may be fat, but I like them. I like them. True, I do. So you can't say to that, so what would I say to him? I don't need you. No, it's not so. We have no shalom because we have forsaken, we do not listen to his mitzvot, and your righteousness as the waves of the sea. Have you ever seen the sea rage? I've seen some waves come up. And he said, that's how your righteousness should be. Now, what do we see as? We see we're just like waves of the sea foaming out shame. Come on here, somebody. We foam out a lot of shame, filth. Also, in those waves, you see foam and you see filth. Everything that goes out must come back. It comes back. I don't care if you drop that at 5,000 miles up there. It's going to come back to the shores. And I don't care what you think you have left of is still there. And so what we see these waves of filth, these waves of filth, of shame, having no honor or no regard for dignities of the Torah, of the mitzvot of Yahweh. So what we see is shame today, foaming out, rages of our shame and our filth. But he said, those that keep his mitzvot, that love his Torah, they shall be, that their righteousness shall be like the waves of the sea. It overtakes. It just overtakes one. One just can't, nothing like a powerful wave. You think you could live if a wave was that high? If it crushed down on you? How much does 1 gallon of water weigh? What? 8 pounds? 10 to 1,000. It will crush you to death. Boom. And that's what righteousness does. Because you're filthy and you have such foam. Foam is nothing. You get in that just high. You can have all that other foam fall on you. It won't even hurt you. But because you're raging at filth and your foam, your mouth gets frothy and foam and you stink. That's this generation. I don't take one word back. Not one. I don't care who you are. Not one. And so since the stench, your attitude stinks. Why? Because this spirit has gone forth. And it has taken the shalom of Yahweh from you. How? Because you don't love Torah truth. Torah teaches us, discipline us, how to walk, how to live, how to honor. That's what it does. And because you hate that, then you're raging with like the foams of the sea. That's how you're raging at. And you rage all the time. There's no flow of this pure river of this great strength of his shalom. And nothing like it. I'd rather drink from that river. I'd rather flow in that river than these corrupt rivers and these corrupt systems that are flowing from you. My brothers and sisters, they're corrupt. They're bitter. That's why you're bitter. And when you're bitter like that, I will show you what's going to happen. I'm going to show you what's in Scripture. You drink it from bitter ponds and bitter water. You're bitter. And I will show you what's going to happen. You are the seed of the Edomites. I hope I can finish this today. I know I won't, but I will finish it one day. All right. Why do you say that? Because I have so many things that I need to teach us. And you need to get a little glimpse of it. They make you dig deeper. You understand. It will make you dig deeper. It saddens my heart because I see people that don't dig deeper. You must go beyond the threshold of your own conviction or your own pain. I use these analogies in everything that I do. In order for you to get to 150 pounds to lift, if you can't lift with 50, then you got to master the 50. You got to do the 50 so that when you go to 75, and it makes the 75 easier, and then you will get the 150. But it takes work and labor. And because you don't work, and you don't begin with your own heart, you don't work on you, then you never progress. Your attitude, that's why relationships never strengthen.